In your bulletin this morning is an interesting thing. Mimi puts that thought in at the end. It says, don't forget our days are numbered, though you may be riding high. But like all of us poor mortals, someday you'll just up and die. Your success and fame and glory won't be worth the bell they toll. Let me ask you this one question. Have you thought about your soul? If you never thought it over, spend a little time today. There's nothing more important that will ever come your way than the joy of sins forgiven and to know you've been made whole. In the name of Christ the Savior, have you thought about your soul? Your soul is going to live forever. The only question is where? And so today we're going to look at what happens after death, and we're going to be looking at what happens to the Christian after death, what happens to those that are unsaved after death. This morning we're going to be looking primarily at what happens to a Christian after death, and tonight what happens to an unsaved person after death. If you're not concerned about your relatives and friends that don't know the Lord, if you can't come tonight, listen online, because you need to really get concerned. It's not good news for those that don't know Christ. So we're going to stand together and honor our Lord as we read Acts chapter 24, starting at verse 1. 5 days later, the high priest Ananias went down to Caesarea with some of the elders and a lawyer named Tertullus, and they brought their charges against Paul before the governor. When Paul was called in, Tertullus presented his case before Felix. We've enjoyed a long period of peace under you, and your foresight has brought about reforms in this nation. Everywhere and in every way, most excellent Felix, we acknowledge this with profound gratitude. But in order not to weary you further, I would request you be kind enough to hear us briefly. We have found this man to be a troublemaker, stirring up riots among the Jews all over the world. He's a ringleader of the Nazarene sect, and even tried to desecrate the temple. So we seized him. By examining yourself, you'll be able to learn the truth about all these charges we're bringing against him. The other Jews joined in the accusation, asserting that these things were true. When the governor motioned for him to speak, Paul replied, I know that for a number of years you've been a judge over this nation, so I gladly make my defense. You can easily verify that no more than 12 days ago I went up to Jerusalem to worship. My accusers did not find me arguing with anyone at the temple or stirring up a crowd in the synagogues or anywhere else in the city. And they cannot prove to you the charges they're now making against me. However, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. Father, help us as we study your word to see what's going to happen to each of us after our death. Father, open our hearts to your truths, open our hearts to your love and your forgiveness through faith in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we'll be sure to give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As you come down Burt Road, there's a cemetery. You go a little further down the road, and there's a little bit bigger cemetery. One thing that's common to every cemetery, whether it's on Burt Road or whatever road, is tombstones. Tombstones are unique because they kind of give just a little insight into the life of the person that's passed. Some of them are very serious. They give the start date of the life. They give the end date of that physical life. And it just gives the name. And then maybe next to it, it has the wife's name or the husband's name that hasn't passed yet. And you notice it's got a date for the birth, but no date for the death yet. Why is that? Because hubby hasn't quite passed yet. He knows he's going to. He's already paid for the stone. But the question is, on our tombstone, what's going to be written? For almost all of us, the start date and the end date are going to be there. Some people are very serious in what they put on the tombstone. It'll say, loving husband or dear child. But some of them are quite humorous. Some of you remember the name of Rodney Dangerfield. He was a comedian in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. I never found him real funny. But one thing he had put on his tombstone when he was buried is, there goes the neighborhood. Kind of a little joke. Not super humorous, but a little bit. Sue Rangel wrote, I told you I was sick. She probably told him over and over and over she was sick. But finally it got her. Charles Eves, he said, here lies Charles Eves. Died October 27th, 1881. She lived each day as if it were last, especially the last one. Mr. Wallace had a tombstone written, and he said it was a tombstone for his wife when she passed. And this is what is written. This is not funny to me, but it was funny to him, I guess. The children of Israel wanted bread, and the Lord sent them manna. Old Clerk Wallace wanted a wife, and the devil sent him Anna. Not good. That boy's heading for trouble. She's in the grave, but Mark Twain wrote this years ago. He said, death is the great leveler. No matter how much money you have, you can't escape the Grim Reaper. I remember years ago, I was just a fairly young man, and one of our older senators was actively dying. I mean, he knew within a few months he was going to be gone. And he went on the air, and he was a very wealthy man. He said, I've got all kinds of money, but there's nothing I can do to stop this. Folks, it doesn't matter how much money you have. Sooner or later, death is going to catch you. Solomon, the wisest man other than our Lord that ever lived, said this in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot. Folks, there is a time to be born, and we rejoice at our birth. But there's also a time to die. And we usually wind up mourning. Do you know the Lord says his ways are not our ways and his thoughts are not our thoughts? Do you know in the Bible it says that the day of a man's death is better than the day of his birth? And it is, if you know the Lord. If you don't know the Lord, that's not true at all. Because the day of your death, you just go from bad to worse. So the question is for today, not so much when am I going to die. I'm not really too concerned at all about that last date on my tombstone. But what's going to happen to me after I die? That's the important question. Rabbi Zacharias, he was a great Christian apologetist of years ago. He used to go around and speak on many college campuses, and he kind of laid out a Christian worldview. Because although all of our colleges, at least the older ones, all started as religious schools to teach young men and women about the Lord, and primarily, including Harvard and many of the other old schools, they were set up to teach men how to be pastors. Well, that's changed a lot. And a lot of those schools now teach evolution and that there is no God and all kinds of crazy things. So Rabbi Zacharias would go around to Christian colleges and lay out very clearly a Christian worldview. And here's what Rabbi Zacharias said about a Christian worldview. He said a coherent worldview has to answer four questions. It has to answer the question of origin. Where did I come from? How did I get here? It has to answer the question of meaning. Why am I here and what am I supposed to be doing? It has to answer the question of morality. Is there right and wrong? And fourth, it has to answer the question of destiny. What happens after this life? And I don't care what religion you look at, they have to answer all four. The Bible does answer all four. Many religions cannot answer all four because they simply do not know. Well, I want us to look at three discoveries to the question, what happens to you, what happens to me after we die? And it's a very important message because guess what? It's going to happen to every single one of us. Some of us sooner, some of you later, but we're all going to, if the Lord Jesus doesn't come in our lifetime, we all are going to physically die. Most religions teach that there is life after this life. Most religions do. So you wonder, how come all these different religions all teach there's life after death? Ecclesiastes 3:11 says he makes everything beautiful in its time. He's also set eternity into the hearts of men. Even people who are not Christians, most believe there's life after this life. They're not sure just why they believe that, but they do believe that. Now, an atheist, and there are many atheists in our world today, and many more now in America than there used to be, but an atheist would say, when he answers those four questions, why am I here? I don't know. What's my purpose? I don't know. What happens after this? I don't know. Folks, that's not a very good religion, because it is a religion. What you believe as your foundation of your life is your religion. Many people worship money. It's all about money. Others, it's all about things. Other people, they worship relationships. They want to be the most popular of everybody around. But folks, everybody has a religion. They have a reason why they think they're here. Some Unitarian Universalists do not believe in a life after death. And that's okay. They can believe whatever they want. But I ran across this week news about a Canadian scientist. His name was G.B. Hardy. He was seeking after truth. And he was seeking after truth to find where he could find spiritual truth from a religion. As you know, there are many, many different religions in our world. But Mr. Hardy said, I only have two questions that my religion would have to answer. He said, number one, my first question is, has anyone ever conquered death? If nobody's conquered death, what good is religion? Doesn't make a bit of difference. He said, my second question is, can I get in on the victory over death? You know, he found only one religion that gave him a good answer, and that's Christianity. Folks, somebody has overcome death, and it's our Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one person in any religion that's ever overcome death. Jesus died on that cross, was buried, and 3 days later rose bodily from the dead. The tomb of Confucius, and Confucius was an actual person that lived, started the Confucian religion. His tomb is still occupied. His body is still there. Gautama Buddha is dead. His body is still there. Muhammad, who started the Islamic faith, is dead. And his body is still in his grave. Jesus Christ is the only one that has conquered death. Christianity is different from every other religion you'll ever know of. We have a risen Savior. And so at one time, Jesus was seen above 500 people all at the same time, men and women. They all saw him. John the Apostle was sent to Patmos, an island, as a slave laborer because of his witness for Christ. One day on that island, John is about 90 years old when this happened. In Revelations 1, verse 12, John says, I turned around to see the voice that was speaking to me, and when I turned, I saw seven golden lampstands. And among the lampstands was someone like a son of man, dressed in a robe reaching down to his feet, and with a golden sash around his chest. The hair on his head was white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like blazing fire. His feet were like bronze glowing in a furnace, and his voice was like the sound of rushing water. In his right hand he held seven stars, and coming out of his mouth was a sharp double-edged sword. His face was like the sun shining in all of its brilliance. When I saw him, I fell at his feet as though dead. Then he placed his right hand on me and said, Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last. I'm the living one. I was dead, and now look, I'm alive forever and ever, and I hold the keys of death and Hades. Our Lord Jesus Christ conquered death. That Canadian scientist, G.B. Hardy, had that question in his mind, has anybody ever done it? And yes, we as Christians can praise the Lord. Our Lord did. Now the second question he asked, is that victory over death something that I can get involved with? In other words, I don't want to die and stay dead either. And he began to study the Bible and he found out that yes, there is life after death for every true believer in Jesus Christ. Folks, it's so important you understand that in John 14, verse 19, before long the world will not see me, Jesus said anymore, but you will see me because I live, you also will live. Jesus, at his friend's funeral, Lazarus, said to Martha in John 11, verse 23, Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. Martha answered, I know he'll rise again at the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And then he said, whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? We never really die when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to put this body off. I'm not going to live in this painful body forever. I praise the Lord for that. I don't like pain, especially my own. And so I'm glad that one day I'm going to put this off. Jesus is going to be my judge. He's going to be your judge. The Bible says he will be the judge of the living, which are those who have trusted Christ, and the dead, those who have rejected Christ. And so either way you look at it, Jesus Christ is going to be your judge and mine. In John 5, verse 22, it says, moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Very truly I tell you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be judged, but is crossed over from death to life. Very truly I tell you, a time is coming and now has come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear him will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he's granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Our Lord Jesus Christ is going to judge. He says, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who've done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. Folks, you are going to come out of your grave one day. The only question is, are you going to come out of your grave, have your sins already forgiven? That verse we read said those that believe in Jesus won't be judged. Now, you're going to be judged for your work to get reward. But your sin has already been judged. The price has already been paid. There'll be no condemnation, the Bible says, for those who are in Christ Jesus. Why? Because the Spirit of life sets us free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death says the soul that sins, it shall die. The soul is the eternal part of man. It's going to die and die and die through all eternity. But praise the Lord, my sin's been forgiven. And if you've trusted Christ, so is yours. We're not going to get the condemnation of the world. When Paul preached on Mars Hill, he was preaching to the sophisticates of his day, the high university students. They always talked about what was going on in the world. And in Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said, in the past, God overlooked such ignorance. But now he commands all people everywhere to repent. For he has set a day when he will judge the world with justice by the man he has appointed. He's given proof of this to everyone by raising him from the dead. So what was Paul's message to the people of his day? You need to repent towards God. You need to change your attitude that you're going to get what you want through your own effort, because you won't. You need to repent towards God and trust Christ as Savior, because it's the only way to gain eternal life. You say, well, I don't believe that after death there is life. And I say to you, you can believe whatever you want, but there is truth. You can say, I don't believe in gravity. So I'm going to go to the top of the Mackinac Bridge, and I'm going to step off the edge of the top pillar on the Mackinac Bridge, and I don't believe in gravity, so nothing's going to happen. Folks, you may not believe in gravity, but gravity believes in you. What's going to happen when you step off that bridge? Are you going to go up? Are you going to stay level? Whether you believe it or not, you're going down. And you're going down fast. And you're going to hit that water like it's a rock. Folks, gravity is true. Eternity is true. Judgment is true. One of these days, we're going to stand before our God. We're going to give an accounting of our lives. Again, Acts 17, verse 30. In the past, God overlooked such ignorance, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent. In other words, this is the way I think it's going to happen. But God has said, no, this is the way it's going to happen. Repentance says, I had my own attitude towards death and judgment, but now I believe God's word. I'm going to trust what he says is going to happen. That's what repentance is. I'm doing it my way, but my way isn't going to work very well. I need to repent and turn around. In Acts 24, verse 14, however, I admit that I worship the God of our ancestors as a follower of the way, which they call a sect. I believe everything that is in accordance with the law and that is written in the prophets. And I have the same hope in God as these men themselves have, that there will be a resurrection of both the righteous and the wicked. So I strive always to keep my conscience clear before God and man. You can mark it down. There is going to be a resurrection, a bodily resurrection, both of believers in Christ and later on, unbelievers. We'll learn more about this a little bit this morning, most of it tonight. I don't know if you know this or not, but even for believers in the first resurrection, the Bible says, blessed are those that depart in the first resurrection. There are three separate resurrections for believers in Christ. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute. But when the Titanic went down, or you can name any ship you want to, the Edmund Fitzgerald, whatever, there were all kinds of different people on there. There were extremely rich people. Some of the richest people in our nation and the world were on that boat. There were also people that weren't so rich that had separate quarters, we'll say, not quite so nice. And then there were the workers on the boat that were very poor people. But when the ship went down, the Bible would say about those people the same thing it would say about people everywhere. There were really two kinds of people on that boat. Those that had received Christ and those that had not. That's the difference we're going to face. Now, when we talk about receiving Christ and we talk about judgment, this is so important for us to understand because often we get this wrong. I was 25 before I knew the difference. When we talk about the righteous, we are not talking about people that go to church. We're not talking about people that are good husbands, good wives, good children, whatever, hard workers. We're talking about people that have received Jesus Christ. Some of those people that have received Jesus Christ are hard workers. They're churchgoers. They give money. They do whatever they're supposed to do. Some that have received Christ are not so good. They maybe don't go to church at all. When Dave and I go calling, a third of the houses we figured out over time, about a third, see, I used to go to church here or there, but I haven't been in church now for 15 years. That's real common now. The Lord says, don't forsake the assembling, but we say as people, I'll just do what I want. Those people, if they really receive Christ, guess what? They're righteous. We say, no, they're not quite doing right. Folks, you're not going to get to heaven by doing right. You're going to get to heaven by being righteous, declared righteous in God's sight. In John 8, verse 24, it says, I told you that you would die in your sins if you do not believe that I am He. You will die in your sins. And I'll tell you the same thing I told Sunday school class today. That word He is not there in the original. You'll die in your sins except you believe I am. If you don't believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Creator God, you can say all the prayers you want to pray. But He is Lord. And if you don't believe that, you are not a true Christian. You may be a Baptist. You may be Methodist, Lutheran, Catholic. I don't care what you are. But if you don't believe Jesus Christ is your Creator God, you can't go to heaven. Except you believe I am, you will not get in. Folks, if you are going to be judged by what you have done, you're not going to make it. I wouldn't make it. I wouldn't have a chance. But Jesus Christ died to pay for my sin. When it comes judgment day, I'm going to be found as one in Christ. His righteousness will be declared my righteousness. That means I'm perfect in God's sight. My sins have all been paid for, and I'm going to heaven for one reason. I trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Folks, it's so important you understand that, because anything else you're going to try, it's not going to work. So what happens when a Christian dies? I'm not going to get through all this today, but I want to get started on this. When a Christian dies, he or she goes to heaven, the soul and the spirit, automatically. The translation from earth to heaven is immediate. You breathe your last breath here on this earth, the next breath is going to be in heaven. And you may say, well, where do you get that? Well, take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. As soon as my spirit leaves my body, my soul and spirit are with the Lord in heaven. When Jairus' little daughter was raised from the dead by our Lord Jesus Christ, it said this in Luke chapter 8, verse 55. Her spirit returned, and at once she stood up. Then Jesus told them, give her something to eat. Her parents were astonished, but he ordered them not to tell anyone what had happened. When Jesus told her to arise, her spirit came back into her body. Folks, that's where the life is at. The body without the spirit, the Bible says, is dead. And it is. So when you die, your soul and your spirit as a Christian goes to be with your Lord, but your body is going to go into the earth. Now, exactly how it goes into the earth is your choice. You can be buried, as I'm going to be, in a casket, similar to our Lord being buried in the tomb, or you can be cremated. The Bible doesn't say you can't do that. The Bible says what? Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Either way you do it, when you're buried in a grave, guess what's going to happen to your body? It's going to decay and go back to dust. If you go through the fire, it's going to go to dust. If you get buried in sea, in other words, you're a sailor, you're out in the sea and you die, during the war, they just slipped them over the edge. It's going to go to dust. And so it really doesn't matter which way you do it, but the body and the soul and spirit are different things. Yes, physically, everybody in this room, sooner or later, is going to die physically if the Lord doesn't come in our lifetime. So the real question isn't, am I going to die? The real answer is, unless the Lord comes, yes, you and I are going to die physically. But where are we going? Some people tell you, they talk about purgatory. At death, my Uncle Roy died, this is back 15 years ago probably, but I went to his funeral, and Uncle Roy was Catholic, and the priest got up and preached a message, and then he said, my Uncle Roy is now in purgatory. He's going to purge off his sins, and then he's going to heaven. And the priest said, when I die, I'm also going to purgatory to purge off my sins, and then I'm going to go to heaven too. Folks, if you still have sin, you can't get into heaven. And you don't burn them off through purgatory. You burn them off by receiving Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. How long would you have to stay in purgatory to burn off any sins that were left? You'd be there forever, folks. It's not happening that way. So what happens to a Christian? Sooner or later, the Lord's going to come for your body. Your body and my body will not stay in the grave. That's good news to me, but I don't want this old body back. As the older you get, the less happy you are with your body. It doesn't do what it used to do anymore, and it's getting more and more. And so I'm looking forward to a brand new body. I hope you are too. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, it says, brothers and sisters, we do not want you to be uninformed about those who sleep in death, so that you do not grieve like the rest of mankind who have no hope. For we believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who've fallen asleep in him. According to the Lord's word, we tell you that we who are still alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trumpet call of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. So we'll be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. It's an encouragement to me to know that I'm going to see at least one of my older brothers that have passed away now. I'm going to see my mother. I don't know about my dad. I'm going to see my grandmother. I don't know about my grandpa. Because the difference isn't how they lived. The difference is, did they receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Folks, we do grieve. When my mother died, I grieved. I grieved even more when my dad died because I still don't know to this day if he received Christ or not. I witnessed to him many times, but he was a stubborn man. It runs in the Larkin family. Folks, if you don't receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you will not go to heaven. And I don't care if you're Baptist, Lutheran, Catholic, Methodist, it doesn't make a bit of difference. I know Baptists that have not received Christ. In fact, when I got saved, my two older brothers were deacons in the old church I went to. And after I got saved, we were down in our basement playing pool. And I said, hey, are you guys, do you know for sure you're going to heaven? And they both laughed and said, no, we'll probably go to hell. Folks, it wasn't a laughing matter because at that time they did not know Christ. Now, praise the Lord, they do now. But they didn't. So I just want to encourage you. You need to know for sure. Have you personally received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Or are you still trying to do like many people? My good works outweigh my bad. Yeah, I know I did things wrong, but boy, look at all these good things I did. The Bible says, for by grace are ye saved. For by grace are you saved through faith, not by works, lest any man should boast. If you could get to heaven by doing the right things, you could get there and say, yep, I'm here because I joined the church. And I joined the only church that really brings salvation. And you can name Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, whatever. I did that. I got baptized. No, you will not pass go. You won't collect $200. You will not live forever with the Lord. I trusted Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Folks, if you do that, you're going to go to heaven. Tonight, we're going to look at the three different resurrections for believers, and then we're going to spend considerable amount of time. What's going to happen to you or your loved ones that have not received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior? I wish I could tell you they're going to get a second chance. That's not biblical. I wish I could tell you their suffering is only for a little while and that it's going to be okay. That's not biblical either. I'm going to show you what God's Word says because that will spur you to say, I really need to talk to so-and-so. Why? Because I love them and I don't want them to go to that place. Father, so grateful for your word. Lord, call people to salvation, not just to some kind of a faith and some kind of an idea of what's right and what's wrong, but to an acknowledging that you, Lord Jesus Christ, are God, that you love them so much that you gave your life to pay for their sin. Father, work in our hearts. Help us to be ready. Help us not to dread it, but to look forward to it. Because from that time on, we'll never be sick again. We'll never know sadness again. We'll never know pain again. So, Father, encourage our hearts that you've appointed men to death in hope, according to your word. And that hope is that we'll be with you forever. And we'll give you the praise in Christ Jesus' holy name. Amen.